You guys excited about hearing from God?
Yeah.
It's always cool to jump into God's Word. I love learning. I love teaching. I forget half what I learn, so I study twice as hard as I should. Getting older every day, but praise God. And we're delving a little bit into the book of Jude. Shared a couple weeks ago how sometimes Jude can get kind of looked over. It's a short little book. It's not really a chapter. It's just a letter. And a lot of times we're either heading to Revelation or we're heading away from it, so we stay away from that end of the Bible sometimes. And but Jude is loaded with a lot of cool stuff. And as anything with God's Word is alive, and it's not just War and Peace. It's not just the Webster's Dictionary filled with stuff, man. It's God's wisdom written down by 40 different authors over 1,500 years, and it's just... the more you dig, the deeper it goes. It's like it's like that every time they build a new telescope and look out in the universe, they think, we've seen the end of the universe. You know how many times I'm 54 years old, halfway to 108. I didn't know if you noticed that. But every time they build a new telescope, they find the new end of the universe. And I think when it's all said and done, we're just going to be amazed on how big God's creation is. And I look forward to checking that out in the eternity here. Because it's pretty hard to get more than 2 inches off the ground right now. But why are you guys laughing? But anyways, I need that dose of humility because it keeps me in check. I have a huge head, and we all struggle with the ego thing. But no, I'm blessed to come and preach for you guys. I love preaching. I love talking about Jesus. It's my favorite thing on the planet to do. And let's pray. Father, we just... as your word instructs, Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Reveal a little bit more of your character, a little bit more of who you are. You are the source of love. You are love, Lord. You're the source of hope. You're the source of just eternity, Lord. I can't wait to see you face to face. And we don't know when we have tomorrow. Lord, we just pray for Rachel's family. Our hearts have been broken. We never know when we're going to leave this planet. And we know where she's at now. We know she's dancing before you, Lord. But her family, all of us, and Dan and everyone else are still hurting. We suffer that loss, Lord. But it's in you that we have hope. It's in your word that gives us the eternal blessed hope that when our eyes do close, when we trust in you, mighty God, that we'll see you on the other side, as Adam was singing earlier. But Father, we just pray that you be with us this morning. Teach us, grow us in your grace and knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This week we're going to look at basically the truth about false teachers and false teachings. Anybody ever seen any movies by Dan Brown, Angels and Demons, and all the stuff that's come out in the finding of these supposed Gnostic Gospels, little g, because it's not good news at all. A lot of it's derived from the Nag Hammadi scrolls that were found a couple centuries ago. And they attached names to them that were biblical people, but they never wrote them. And it does not line up with what we deem as canonical scripture. It's the reason we have 66 books in the Bible and not 99 is because these books were inherently confirmed by God's miracles and his prophets that this was the word of God. God is the one who says it and then it comes true. No other book on the planet can do that. I've read most of them, forgot more than what I've read. But I tell you this, there is no other book on the planet as powerful as God's Word, because they are just books. They're religious books. This is not a religious book. This is a relationship book. God is all about relationships. Always has been, always will be. One of the first things I learned when we came to Warehouse Church back in late 96, early 97, somewhere around there, I was still a little bit of a fog then, before I got in fog. And I came up with that one on the fly, huh? Pretty good. But one of the first things I remember Randy saying is there'll be no evangelizing in heaven. You won't need to tell anybody about Jesus in heaven, because we'll all be there. All the believers will be there. There'll be no evangelizing. So our purpose here is to understand the truth and share that truth. And you cannot recognize the truth unless you know the truth. Who was here 2 weeks ago? Did you do your homework? Good.
Good.
There won't be any test. But I pray God convicts you like He convicts me to continuously to study and grow in His grace and knowledge. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jude. Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. The book of Jude is basically a book on apostasy, which is apostasia, the Greek word for falling or turning away from the faith. I mean, once you understood, once you maybe had head knowledge of the faith, but you fell away from the faith, you turned away, somebody turned you, somebody pointed you in a different direction, somebody told you something that wasn't true, and you bought the lie, which happens to a lot of us all the time. It can happen. I'm not pointing the finger of condemnation at anybody. And you hear me say this all the time. Either it's true or it's not. It's either 100% true because it's not 99.9% true. It cannot be. It's either 100% true or it's not. And Satan is an expert at throwing the yeast in the dough. He is an expert. He's been around a long time. He's smarter than any of us. And he understands humanity since Adam and Eve. And his greatest ploy is to... Satan wants you to believe everything except for the fact that Jesus Christ is God and that He died for your sins. You can agree, you can believe. He doesn't care if you believe in the flood. He doesn't care if you believe that this guy said that or, you know, the sun stopped here or whatever in the Old Testament. But He does not want you to believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Does not want you to believe in the fullness of the Godhead in the fully God, fully man, I'm getting on a tangent here, of who Jesus Christ is, because that is the key to salvation. If you were here, if you were there yesterday when Randy was speaking at the memorial, he said things that were exactly true. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That is the truth. That's the beginning of truth. That's all you need to do to get into the club is to receive that in your heart. But then God calls it, has all these commandments on our life, and He says, now what are you going to do with it? Now what are you going to do with it? I love talking about different religions. I get questions all the time from the guys at work, when I'm wandering around the halls here, when I'm out in the street over at Wayside. We need to be prepared with an answer. When people come up and say, hey, I'm into this, what do you think? Hey, I was reading this book. There was a guy I knew a few years back, he was on fire for the Lord, growing and learning, and he comes up to me with this book of miracles. Wow, this is more of God's gospel, he tells me. And this crazy lady, with all due respect, wrote this book and claimed that she got this. She had meetings and stuff, hanging out with God in person, supposedly, and wrote all this new stuff about God. And it had new revelations. It was new and exciting. And it took off, and people, actually churches, were teaching this stuff in Bible study. Let's set this aside here. We now have the Book of Miracles. Bow to the Word of God. We can easily be deceived, guys. Easily be deceived. Gnosticism was real popular in the second century. Gnosticism was one of the major culprits of people falling away from the faith in the first century. And it... basically, I'll review real quickly. It claimed the secret knowledge. It claimed secret knowledge, and it undercut the gospel. And at the time, it wasn't secret knowledge of Christ's coming. It was being publicly debated, publicly discussed everywhere. Around Israel, Rome, it was happening. Christ's disciples were on fire. Once they seen the resurrected power of the living God, they were on fire. They didn't run and hide like they were hiding before Christ was resurrected in a locked room. And the enemy says, no, I'm going to send some guys. And we're going to say, you know what? Maybe what everything Jesus said, he might have been a little bit wrong. So we got some new stuff. And that's what Gnosticism was doing. Gnosticism gave the believers of this religion the license to sin because sin would magnify God's grace. The more I sin, the more grace I get. So I'm just going to keep on sinning. Isn't that cool? No, it's not. It's a lie. Gnosticism was a direct threat to the biblical teaching that Christ was fully God, fully man, and that the call from Christ to live a righteous life based on Christian ethics. Gnosticism was undercutting that, and we still see it happening today. Jude's letter was basically written to believers everywhere, 2,000 years ago and today, because it's still as important and relevant today as it was back then. Amen? We also learned, I focused a little bit on the first couple verses of Jude, on being loved, called, loved, and kept. That's what the first introduction to Jude's letter was. Called, loved, and kept. He was reminding believers everywhere, you are called by Christ, you are loved by God. It was because God loved us that he went to the cross. It was because God loves us that he rose again from the dead. And that we are kept in Christ. When we rest in him and we understand the truth, then we stand a less of a chance of being turned away for what we believe is the truth to be infiltrated by lies. So let's jump in the Word here. If you're not already there, turn to the book of Jude. I'm going to review here real quick in verse 3. It says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." Jude here is starting out to talk about a letter on salvation and how we all share this common faith in Christ. But obviously, there was a huge problem going on with people spreading lies, dragging people away from the gatherings they were in and telling them stuff that just basically wasn't true. Jude 4, it says, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." Change the grace of our God. Romans 6, 1 through 4, we don't have it on the board, but Romans 6, 1 through 4, basically says, so because we have God's grace, and I'm paraphrasing heavily here, so we just keep on sinning? And Paul reaffirms that and says, absolutely not. No, because of that grace, you need to stop sinning. If you recognize what has been done for you by the living God, we should stop. False teachers and false teachings appear to be the real thing on the surface. But after further examination, what they're preaching and what they're teaching, compared with biblical truth, is eventually exposed. Sin, you know, I used to be into horror movies. I'm not really into that anymore. I still love kung fu flicks, man. I got about 100 of them in my Netflix queue, which my wife is like totally ecstatic about. And how many movies have they made where it's God versus Satan? He's the greatest enemy to God. When sin is the greatest enemy. It was sin that was found in Satan that caused him to fall. It was sin in the beginning that Cain suffer from that caused him to kill his brother Abel. It was sin that drags each of us and tempts each and every one of us every day to drag us off into the darkness. Satan is powerful. But the power of sin, it was because of sin. It wasn't because of Satan that God, that Christ himself went to the cross. It was because of sin. Verse 5. Jude's talking here, and he's going to go through explaining a few situations that have happened that are revealed in the Old Testament, and he's going to give some insight into what's going on, and we're going to take a look at that real quick. In verse 5, it says, "Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. 40 years God led the Hebrew people around the desert, because he was not going to let any non-believers see the promised land. There's a little picture of heaven. These non-believers were traveling with the believers, kind of like a church gathering on Sunday morning. Well, I'll tell you, hanging out with Christians doesn't get you into heaven. Following Christians around in the desert, or Hebrew people around in the desert, does not get you into heaven. And always blows my mind, and it really lets me reflect on my vulnerability and my weakness when I can see in God's Word that the angels themselves, who witness the presence and power of the living God in heaven, were dragged away. Were drawn away. Were tempted. And they fell. How aware do we have to be to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? If the angels can be tempted, angels around the throne of God, that's amazing. We can't even comprehend. That is the power of sin. Pick up a newspaper today. As it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so it will be at the time when Christ said he's coming back. We are basically seeing, guys, the advocating, the validating, and the celebrating of Sodom and Gomorrah worldwide. The advocating, the validating, and the celebrating of Sodom and Gomorrah worldwide. Verse 8. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, meaning Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. You know, I'm a science geek. And I was watching a show on the NASA channel. They were chatting about something, and I could stare at that stuff, and it just freaks me out. It's cool. Did you know that you could remove the animals and the insects from the planet and man would die? But if you remove man from the planet's just fine without us. Now, I'm not going off on a green freak tangent here. God has given us dominion over the planet. We need to take care of the earth. I'm not going to argue that in any way, shape, or form. We are entrusted to be good stewards of the planet. But the earth was made for man. The earth was made for man. We are not animals. I remember growing up in science and biology class how, you know, the teachers are explaining, well, we're basically animals. We've just gotten a little smarter. When we are completely biologically, there's a lot of similarities. And I think that's why Jesus uses the reference with pigs and sheep and goats. But we need to understand that if you do not have the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit. Either you have God's Spirit in you or you don't. And the Scripture's reasoning, your way of thinking is like an instinctual animal, because you basically don't know any better. Because that is your mindset, that is your worldview, is that it's non-biblical, it is a worldly worldview. And you follow the patterns of this world. Amen? And here is a great example, though. We're going to run into people that are going to be spouting something, whether it's a fellow believer. We all don't know everything. We all don't know everything about God's Word. Amy can attest to this, I'm sure. She's been going to school for a couple decades. And God bless her. I love it. We will always be students of the Master. God is who He is. Even when we get our eternal bodies, and Jesus says we'll be like God. He never says we're going to be God. We're not all jumping on the Mormon bus and riding off with Mitt Romney. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. But we are going to have the resurrected body. And here is a perfect example. Even Michael, the archangel, Michael had to go and rescue the angel when Daniel was praying to God, the prince of Persia, an angel over the dominion of Persia, because when you read and you study God's word, you see that Satan has his own principalities and powers and dark authorities. He's a counterfeit little g. He wants to be. When sin was found in Satan, he says, "Hey, God, you're sitting in my chair." And he's been thinking that ever since. And that's been his whole plan, is to destroy mankind and to take away God's power. Ain't never going to happen. But we learn a lesson from Michael. We are not, I forget the scripture, in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25. Don't have it on the screen. Write it down. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. Basically, Paul was instructing Timothy as a young pastor. You're going to run into people that think this. You're going to run into people that will oppose you. Always handle them with gentleness. What kind of example, Christ-like example, is that if you're arguing and screaming and yelling at one another, you look like a couple knuckleheads? And believe it or not, I've been there once or twice. But even Michael didn't say, "Hey, dude, this or that." No, he just says, "The Lord rebuke you." What happened when Jesus was tempted? When he was beginning his ministry and he was drawn out into the desert by God the Father, the tempter came and tempted him. Jesus didn't argue with him. There was no reason to argue. He got back with him and said, "This is the word of God. This is what the word says." Let's jump down and verse 11 here, guys. "Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves, they appear to be believers." They can appear to be God's people. "They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead." He's talking about not only the physical death, but they are spiritually dead. Romans speaks clearly on the fact that if you do not have the Spirit, you are considered spiritually dead, guys. "They are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever." A lot of us know the story of Cain. I mentioned it earlier. Cain and Abel were going to bring their offerings to the Lord. Abel brought the best of his. And Cain says, "Here you go, Lord. I'm keeping other stuff for myself. Because, hey, I am the one that worked all hard for it." It's like the scientists getting ready. "We can finally create men out of dirt." And God says, "Oh, yeah?" So he says, "Okay, we got all the technology. We're going to make man in our own image. We don't need you, God. We can make him out of clay and dirt." And God says, "Oh, really? Get your own dirt. Can't use mine." "Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain." Cain was selfish. He was prideful. He was arrogant. He did not want to give God his best. He wanted to please Cain. And he was insulted, and his poor little feelings were hurt, and it led to him killing his brother Abel. The first recorded murder in the Bible. Balaam was a diviner, dude, who was being paid to lay a curse on God's people. And God spoke to him and says, no, you're not. But Balaam still wanted to because he wanted the money. And he was trying so hard that God had to have the donkey run into stuff and drag him around and bang his head on stuff to try to do it. You're not going to do this. Until God finally tells Balaam, you are not going to do this to the point if you keep doing this, I will kill you. Because you are not going to curse my people. I am protecting my people. I am going to do what I need to do because I'm God. And Balaam, you will either listen to what I'm telling you and you will go back to Balak and the other dudes and you will do what I say. I don't know where Balaam ended up, but it was kind of weird separation there at the one point. And Korah was another dude. Him and his buddies were opposing the authority and leadership of Moses and Aaron, who God had appointed over the Hebrew people. Well, he didn't like that. He thought he had his own, who are you guys to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me how I should live my life? Because supposedly God told you. Yeah, I'm supposed to buy that crap. I want to do what I want to do. And he got guys together, and they confronted Moses and Aaron. And God spoke to Moses and said, you tell them to show up tomorrow. And then I'm going to tell you where they're going to stand. And Moses, we're going to find out tomorrow who I sent to lead my people. Well, the next day came. Korah and his buddy stood up. Moses said, hey, why don't you guys go stand over there? Over there. Just not here. And God opened up the earth and swallowed them all up. These are all little pictures of separation from God, of going into the grave. Eternal separation from God. These men are blemishes at your love feasts. The believers would get together. And it was a sharing thing. You see it in the book of Acts. They got together like here at Warehouse Church when we have our luncheons and get-togethers. Man, it ain't about, I can eat my share. There's no hiding the fact there. You know what I mean? Thank you, Randy. I love the encouragement, but we're seeing that people can infiltrate. And that's what I love about the mindset and the heart set here at Warehouse, is that we get all kinds of people from all walks of life come in here. And you know what? It doesn't matter, because if you come in here, we're going to love on you, because that's what Christ did. He came to his enemies and said, I'm going to love on you. He went to the cross and said, man, they hate me, but I love them and I'm going to die for them. I'm going to rise again from the dead for a world that despises me, for a world that has already killed all the prophets in the Old Testament. And that's what I love about Warehouse. That's why we call it home. Amen? They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up with their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. In Jude 12 and 13, guys, in Matthew 3:10, I'm going to flip over there. I wanted to read that real quick. Says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Repeatedly, Christ was talking about the threshing floor, the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats. And God in His goodness, He would see that, He would love that everyone would come to repentance, and everyone He ever created and will to be born would come to know that Christ is Lord. Amen? But that's the power of sin. And God has entrusted us with the truth. And like I said earlier, to know the truth, to share the truth, you got to know the truth. It's as simple as Jesus, that He's God and He died for us. But there's so much more, and so many people have so many questions. It seems like more and more every day the world's getting crazier. I think it's been this crazy all along. There's just more of us on the planet now. Horrible thing I heard this week that broke my heart. Not even even on top of the Rachel thing. There's like 48 million people that are in bondage and slavery on the planet today. That's more people than ever in the history of mankind are slaves today. There's over a million slaves here in America. And I don't know if you guys follow what's going on in China, but they have mandatory abortions. And if you don't show up at the doctor when they tell you you're going to abort your baby, they come to your house and inject you with some Pine Sol or something. 950 women a day commit suicide in China. 950 women a day commit suicide in China. The world is in desperate need of the hope of Jesus Christ. Jump into verse 14 here, guys. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These men are grumblers, fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantages. Here's one of those times in Scripture, happens a few times in the Old Testament, where the author is actually quoting an extra-biblical source. The book of Enoch is not canonical Scripture. It was highly respected in the early church days, but it was never acknowledged as canonical Scripture. That doesn't mean as there's not loads of truth in there, because when you look in the book of Enoch, and it's really cool to check that stuff out, he's basically just quoting in the book of Enoch. It didn't appear until the first century B.C. So whether it was written by the Enoch, seventh from Adam, not the other Enoch, which was the son of Cain. We're talking the Enoch. I bet you guys didn't know there's a couple Enochs in there. I know Dan did. But this is Enoch from the line of Seth, one of Adam's children. And basically he's quoting Daniel. That little snippet from there is from Daniel 7 and Zechariah 14, verse 1 from memory, I think. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But like I said, it was not accepted as canonical truth. But here, Jude is quoting that because he's talking about the great day of the Lord, the return of Christ. Not the coming of Christ as the Lamb, but the return of Christ as the conquering Lion. Four times in those sentences, in those verses, he uses the term ungodly. When I'm reading that, I'm seeing Jude was ticked about what was happening to God's people. That these guys were coming in and spreading this garbage, and it was stealing people away. Leading them into the darkness. Leading them into death. He's hammering home that false teachers intentionally, we're not talking about guys that are just ignorant, because we're all ignorant to a certain aspect when it comes to God's Word. But we're talking about guys that intentionally come in and spread garbage that is not biblically correct. It causes destruction, deception, and dissension in God's people. And Jude obviously witnessed the effects of lies and deceivers. Verse 17, guys. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. After all that stuff, the warnings and all the garbage, I love Jude. He starts winding things up here. When we'll finish that up, the rest of it next week. But we're just going to look at this last couple here. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. If you want to write down a few scripture, Acts 20, verses 28 and 29. Acts 20, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. 1 Timothy 4, 1. And 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. A little bit more homework. I gently and gracefully encourage you. Our defense, guys, our truth is the Word of God. Nothing can stand against the truth. Satan will try and try and try. Sin and its power of death and destruction will try and try and try. Once you're in Christ, the only thing Satan can do is try to steal the blessings away from your life. We see pictures of that in the book of Job and a lot of the believers in the Old Testament. He will try to crush you and steal your hope, even though you've already been blessed, indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Because it distracts you if you're all concerned about everything I'm going through and not recognizing that the bigger picture, that mosaic of life that's happening here on the planet and the purpose that we have been called for. When I spoke 2 weeks ago on called, loved, and kept, we are here for a purpose and a plan, and that is to share the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? But it must be done gently and must be done in love and grace and compassion. Be wary, guys. Study your word. God loves it when you read about Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, You're awesome. You are so good. You are the source of goodness, the source of hope, the source of love, the source of compassion, the source of forgiveness, Almighty God. There are many competing for their attention, Lord, and that they want to steal what glory was reserved for You, what majesty was reserved for You. But You are the one true living God. You alone created the universe out of nothing. You spoke and bam, the universe happened. You alone guide and instruct Your people throughout millennia, Lord. You correct us. You discipline us. You alone is what it took to be that perfect atonement. When You came to earth, born in a manger, hung on a cross, died on that cross, and rose again on the third day, mighty God. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for the depths of Your love that we will not fully grasp until we see You. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Go with Your people today, mighty God. Protect them, guide them, encourage them, provide for them, and protect them. In Your precious name, Jesus. Amen.